Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to The Career Brand. This is Latrice Collins. I am the founder and the proud host. Well, if you've been listening to the show, you know The Career Brand is built on how do we help people become more effective in their job and to be seen more effective. Now, you might ask, why is this important? Well, it's really important if you're interested in growing in your company, owning your own business, making more money, becoming the go-to person. And so for the past, let's say 20-plus years, I'm going to stop there, but for the past 20-plus years, I've had the great opportunity of working with corporations and associations and nonprofits at helping individuals to identify what is their key career brand. What are those items that's standing out? We've also created a formula around building your career brand so that people can see you for the expertise that you are. Now, the reality is brands, like anything else, comes in all shapes and sizes. And basically what a brand is, it is how people see you and what they think of when they think of you. So in this series, in the show for the next 4 weeks, we've come up with a really fantastic series called Effective Communications. And what's powerful about that particular series is that most people, if they're facing a challenge, it's a challenge in the effective communication with another individual. Now, that might be communication with one person, it might be your boss, it might be a peer, it might be a person at your home or somebody of importance to you that for some reason you have a clash. So as a result of that, we wanted to really empower you with tools to help you to bridge the gap wherever you might have a clash. So let me tell you about a couple of the shows that's coming up. Today, we're going to focus on the power of emotional intelligence, and I'm going to tell you what that's all about in just a moment. Next week, on the first, we're going to look at recognizing individual communication styles. Then we're going to focus on emotions versus logic, which will win the battle. That's on April 4th. And then on the 15th, we're going to talk about navigating through the company culture and management styles. And if you know, as well as the rest of them, every person, every company has a completely different style. So how do you manage through it? So we figured let's break this down into four different parts for you. Each one of our shows is only about 30 minutes, so we encourage you to grab a pen or paper or listen to one of the archive episodes if you missed this. Okay, so getting started, if anyone wants to call in, feel free to call in. We encourage that. The number to dial in is 347-324-5330. That's 347-324-5330. Now, let's go ahead and jump in and begin. So effective communication is the power of emotional intelligence. We know that one significant challenge that faces millions of people every single day is the inability to communicate effectively in the workplace. Now, this doesn't mean that any of us are bad people. It simply means that sometimes there is a disconnect between ourselves and the other individuals that creates a break in the relationship with that person. Is that making sense? So what we're going to talk about today is emotional intelligence. And you might ask, you know, what is emotional intelligence? Well, you probably heard of something called IQ. IQ is the intelligence quota, right? And with IQ, that is looking at, from a book sense usually, how smart are you? How much do you know on that kind of ranking system. And so schools and big, some organizations actually put people through a rigorous test to identify how much do you know. You know, where is your intellect level? Believe it or not, though, what we've seen quite common in history is that that particular test does not necessarily gauge your true intelligence, because it involves your experience in the educational system and so forth, or some cultural experiences. So because of that, companies don't use, and people don't use that as frequently as they used to. However, what they have determined is when they're looking at some of the top leaders and people who have been extremely influential, what's come across is they have a different type of intelligence. And what that's called, it's called emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence is just really powerful. It was developed many years ago by Daniel Goleman. And what he did was identify that emotional intelligence, or how people are able to relate and understand and communicate with other people, is really dependent on 4 to 5 key areas. Now, if you're a person who had familiar with Mr. Goldman's theory in the past, you know there were 4 areas. I'm going to talk about actually all 5 of them that there are now, and show you where the difference is. And so this will be extremely instrumental for individuals who really have a true care that they want to understand people and be able to effectively communicate with people. If this is you, this is powerful. Now, if you are on a different page, that intellect is the highest level of communication and only level of communication, you may struggle a little bit with this particular topic. So let's keep going. So emotional intelligence starts off with the root of self-awareness. And you may wonder, well, what do we mean by self-awareness? There's no bigger thing or bigger strength in understanding exactly where you are with various topics. And so that means it's really important to understand where you have weaknesses, where you have strengths, where you have triggers, what things bother you, what things excite you. Why? Right? Why is that? Or you might think you get it. Sometimes we know our strengths, but we're not really clear on where we have weaknesses or what our triggers are. So let me tell you why that's important. It's important because, one, understanding what brings us joy and what gives us power and what makes us feel good versus those things that create challenges and conflict for us is important, because we're going to react and communicate with a person based on how we're feeling in that moment, okay? So when we start talking about self-awareness, we talk about, first of all, identifying a list of things that you enjoy and making a list of how that makes you feel. But then what are some things that trigger you to negative emotions? When I say trigger you, I'm talking about things such as when a person cuts you off, it really gets you mad. So, you know, it gets you frustrated. Or when a person kind of outs you in front of people, it might outrage you or might send you into a kind of a spiral. Or when someone is condescending to you, it might make you feel a certain way, or anger might kick in. Well, that's pretty important, because if you know you have a boss that always ticks you off, so they are your trigger, just their name gets you frustrated, or a peer who just their name or them entering a room gets you intense, then that means they are your trigger. Now, so you have to first be aware of what that is that causes you to be in that space. The next part of emotional intelligence is then self-management. That means the behavior that you exhibit as a result of how you feel. So, for instance, when you feel very happy, you might be talkative, you might be inviting the people, you might be open to listening and understanding those people. But when you're shutting down or frustrated, you may do the opposite. So when you're talking about your self-management, it's really, really focusing on how do you react as a result of how you feel. Because quite often, we put ourselves in that bind that we're in. We don't mean to. We don't know we're doing it. But sometimes, because we have been triggered and we're frustrated, man, we put ourselves in a bind. And let me tell you what that looks like. Somebody in the office might say something, they might cut you off or take credit for work you did, or condescending, worst case, condescending in front of people about you. And that frustrates you. But you've always been taught, don't say a word, don't you say anything, because it's going to be your fault, right? So you don't say anything, but you frown, or you turn your back on them, or you intentionally don't help them on something else. Everything I just described is a behavior that's your response to that situation. And so you may say, and that's good, I didn't go off on them, I didn't say what I thought, anything like that. But in reality, the frown face, the intense shoulders, the clenching of your teeth, the turning away, doesn't that communicate to them just as well? Doesn't it show that you have some wall built up? And then what happens to the other individual because they're experiencing that from you? What happens? Well, typically, if you saw somebody frown up at you or roll your eyes or got tense or turned red or turned away and wouldn't talk to you, what happens when that happens to you? You get upset, right? So even though the other person triggered you, it's up to you how to react to them. And when you react in kind, sometimes they don't even know they triggered you. They have no idea they said something offensive. But when they see how you're reacting, they then become more defensive. And so you end up in this vicious cycle that's difficult to get through. So with emotional intelligence, the first and most important part it focuses on is first understanding really yourself. What are those triggers? What's causing those things? And then understanding the second half is, how do you behave as a result of it? So for those of you who are driving in your car, listening on your phone, or listening at your desk, it's important now to just make a list of the different things that people do that bother you. And then right next to that column, write down the things that really, how you behave as a result of that. I don't talk, I roll my eyes, I get intense, I yell, I get defensive back. You know, what are those things you do? Because what's going to be important under self-management is, now that you know what you do when you're uncomfortable, is your responsibility to figure out how to tweak that thing, right? How do I do something different so that I don't create the vicious cycle of the frustration? Does that make sense? Now, emotional intelligence is an entire class that can take hours and hours to do, but I'm just giving you the tidbit information in order to help you move forward. So let's go to the next part. So first we got just yourself, but now a really key item, and this is what makes powerful leaders, a really key item under emotional intelligence is going to be social awareness. Social awareness. Now, social awareness is where you have to have heart. This is where you have empathy for the other person. This is where you're trying to identify what's happening in their lives that's impacting them, that's having them react the way they're reacting. So, for instance, you may have a person, could be a customer, you've never met them before, but they come in and they're yelling or degrading or something's wrong, or they're impatient. Well, with emotional intelligence and under social awareness, you're asking yourself, I wonder what's going on in their life that's causing them to respond in the way they're responding, to act the way they're acting. Believe it or not, chances are most people are responding the way they are because they're dealing with a conflict of their own. And everybody isn't up to sharing, right? But they're dealing with their own battles, or they've had such a life of battles that they stay on a constant defensive posture. Is that making sense? They are always on defense. So when you meet a person, I remember sitting in a group once, and everybody was talking about what was going on in their life, and it was this one woman. Man, she was hostile by most people's definition. Very hostile. So everything everyone said, she had some very aggressive or condescending thing to say about that. Well, what we discovered later in this woman's life, it just so happened she decided, you know, later to share, was that she was a person who had been viciously abused in the past, viciously beaten and hospitalized. And as a result of it, she learned to be tougher. She learned to not be a victim and to instead defend herself and to never allow herself to be beaten ever again. Well, now this is a different environment. This isn't any physical environment. This is an environment where anyone's in danger, right? But the way the mind works, the mind simply says, am I under attack? And your subconscious mind recognizes when sometimes you're under attack, it's not physical. You're under attack where it's emotional or psychological. But the brain figures it out on a subconscious level, sometimes faster than we figure it out on a conscious level. Does that make sense? It's like when somebody looks at you a certain way and you recognize, huh, what just happened? Why did they look at me that way? Well, the brain picks that up, and it goes into what's called a fight or flight mode. And so your brain is programmed. We are physically programmed to respond to danger. And it knows that danger comes on a subconscious level with from different avenues. And so it alerts you, hey, you're in some form of danger. So sometimes that other person, like the woman that I'm describing, that other person is experiencing a level of fight or flight happen in their brain. So even though you just question them about why did they do a certain thing, that person may have had such events occur in their life that just asking why did you do something that way makes them unconsciously fearful that you're questioning their intelligence. You're questioning their competence. Your question if they can do something, and as a result of that, that might make them more vulnerable, and as a result of that, they may be in risk of losing their job, and as a result of that, you see how this is going? They may then suffer from X. So in a blink of an eye, their body, their mind, and so forth takes one statement and flies with it and puts them on defense. Now, would you have known that? No, you don't know all the things going on in a person's life and in a mind or anything like that. But there are things and signals that they give off to let you realize something just changed or something occurred in that person that is making them put up a wall as a result of you. Now, sometimes you'll see a facial change. They'll look more defensive. Sometimes it's an emotional change. Sometimes they get quiet. Sometimes they get louder. Sometimes their physical being changes. They become red or rigid. When any of those things occur, just watch closely with individuals. If you see the slightest shift in that person, there is a very high chance that a trigger has just occurred for them. And as a result of the trigger that they just experienced, they may say or do something that actually in attempt to defend themselves, they do something that triggers you. Is that making sense? Okay. So with the second half of emotional intelligence, it becomes all about the other individual. And this is where it becomes really a test to you and to your desire to truly care about someone else and to create a relationship with someone else. And this doesn't mean long-term relationship. Every touch point we have, every person that we meet is a possibility of being someone important to us or you have an important impact on their life. So when it comes to social awareness, this is really about trying to identify what's going on with the individual, what's important to the individual, what's happening in their life before you react or respond. Okay, so we've covered three areas so far. We have self-awareness. And with self-awareness, That is understanding your emotional self. That's having a true, accurate assessment for where you are with different situations, how you feel about it. So when you made your list of things that make you frustrated, hopefully you also, when you finish that list, made a list of things that make you very happy or at peace, so that you become so intimately familiar with yourself that you know without a shadow of a doubt things that are going to make you feel happy, things that are going to make you feel frustrated or sad. Then we talked about self-management. And self-management was the key on what do you do with that information. Because you know what? You can feel a lot of things, but that certainly doesn't mean you have to act on them. So when we're looking at the whole self-management, it's really figuring out how to maintain some level of control or how to show a demonstrate transparency, meaning sometimes it's okay to share with people, I'm frustrated right now because you said X, and let me tell you how it made me feel. I'm sure it wasn't your intention, but let me tell you how it made me feel. When you said this, it made me feel this other way. Or when you said X, I responded because it made me feel this way. And I need you to, you're saying to them, I need you to hold on before responding, before explaining what you really did mean. I'm just trying to explain how it made me feel. That level of transparency typically will calm what could be a very explosive situation. And then we've also talked about social awareness, where it's all about thinking about, caring about that other individual and focusing on what's happening in that other individual's life so that you can address and respond in time to the scenario. So the last part of emotional intelligence, wait a minute, I told you I was going to talk about, is in general there's five. Remember I said they started off four and it turned to five. So here's where there was a slight shift in what Mr. Goldman originally said versus what changed. So what changed was before where there was self-management, they now have come up with a second part of self-management, and it's called internal motivation. And internal motivation is, you know, why do you care? So this is a fifth part. So many people who've done emotional intelligence in the past only have had the four parts. The fifth, this other part that's added into under self-management or piece of self-management is internal motivation. Why do you care? Because if you don't care, then everything we're talking about now will become some form of where you're manipulating instead of really communicating and effectively influencing a person. If you don't care, if you don't have that internal driver that motivates you to really want to build a relationship with other people, then you're going to struggle with, are you building a legitimate relationship with other people? So when he looks at internal motivation, he's looking at, you know, initiative and your commitment to the task at hand or your commitment to the individual at hand. And even if you're facing adversity, because you care about that particular topic, the person or the topic, because of that, you're going to be more dedicated to making something happen. Okay, hope that makes sense. So that would have been the extra part to emotional intelligence that typically you may not hear about in some of the programs that were done in the past. So now, last but not least, number five. Last but not least, is relationship management. So relationship management now is the culmination of self-awareness, social awareness, self-management, and internal motivation. If you bring all those items together, now you get into relationship management, because relationship management is now the behavior of how you act and what you do as a, in response to now what you know, okay? So if you know, if somebody says something defensive that made you defensive, you got angry, so you got triggered, you wanted to react, right? You wanted to fuss back at them. But because you know it's your trigger, you held off. You didn't. Instead, you asked more questions of the person to try to keep your own emotions at base. Can you explain this more to me? Can you walk me through why you feel that way? You know, I think I'm a little confused about the response you just gave, so can you tell me this part instead? By doing those things and holding back that trigger, You're now tapping into understanding them better. With relationship management, it's saying, once you now understand their driving force, what's making them the way that it is, or even if they don't tell you the detail, you did at least recognize that something happened that caused a trigger in them that's creating this setting at this moment. So you, instead of reacting to what they said and how it made you feel, you instead work on how do I become a catalyst to change the setting in order to get the outcome that we both will respect and appreciate. How do I focus on valuing them and what they're needing in order to really help deep dive into getting to the root of the cause and finding a solution and showing them the respect that they as a human being deserve, right? So that's the relationship management side. And it doesn't stop in that one conversation. It consistently builds. Why? It builds because you care about that individual or any individual in that scenario. And people who are strong in emotional intelligence are people who've mastered all these levels so that the relationships they're building become solid relationships and focus on bonds and teamwork and collaboration. I hope that makes sense to you. So that's the first part of the Effective Communication series. Now, we're going to run this series a couple times, so keep tuning in. But if you need more information, we have books and workshops and even webinars now. For those of you who are not in Texas, we have webinars available for you where we can deep dive into understanding your career brand, identifying where you might have a breaking point so that we can help you more bridge those gaps and take you to the next level. So let me tell you a couple ways to reach us in order to learn more about our seminars, our books, and our programs so that you can become stronger. So first of all, you can go to our website at thecareerbrand.com, thecareerbrand.com. And that is that can be reached anywhere. On that, you'll see where it says shops and workshops and things like that. And under it, you'll find our various tools. We have a book called The Perfect Fit for Careers. And The Perfect Fit for Careers is all about helping you identify your brand and giving you tips of the trade of interviewing and salary negotiation and communication to get you higher. Then we have The Career Brand for Christians, and that one's built with more inspirational spiritual things, as well as it really helps you deep dive into matters of the heart, because sometimes life just gets difficult. And if you're going through a difficult time right now, you really, really have to get that book, because that book is empowering, it's tearful. It is a career book, believe it or not, but it's balanced with the fact that you have to go to work the next day, even though your life is going a bit crazy at the time, or at least it feels like it is. We have a couple books on succession planning, and we have workshops that are 2 hours long online where you can call in and ask me questions. So we have the workshop online, that's a webinar, as well as we have workshops in Dallas, Texas, where you can actually go to day-long programs and deep dive and learn about you. I hope this is really helping you. So if you're enjoying the series and you're enjoying the podcast, please email us, reach out to us. You can reach us at info@thecareerbrand.com. And again, or you can contact me directly. And I am Latrice@thecareerbrand.com. I think that covers everything for today. Remember, we have a 4-part series. Today we talked about the power of emotional intelligence. Then we're going to move into recognizing individual communication styles. We're going to go to emotions versus logic, then navigating through company cultures and management style. Again, I am Latrice Collins, the founder and creator of The Career Brand and The Perfect Fit for Careers. Until next time, guys, thanks so much for your time. Love to talk to you later.